Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In between the break, whether or not you would know the ceremonial first pitches at Progressive Field for games 3, 4, and 5. How online have you been in the previous like 20 minutes?
In the previous 20 minutes, not very online, but good. I can check my
No. Don't check it. This is the game. Nope. Don't check it.
No, I'm checking it right now.
I want you can't to guess. Like that, we want you to guess the people, and then we'll tell you whether it's right or wrong, and then we can go from there. Guess the game 3 ceremonial first pitch thrower.
Jason Kipnis.
Oh, you cheated.
Yeah, come on.
You 100% cheated.
I did not.
Who texted you?
Oh, you just happened to get Jason Kipnis?
I'm guessing Travis Hafner's throwing game 4.
Yeah, fantastic. Are you going to pull game 5 out
of
that?
What about game 5 when they win?
Yeah.
Ryan Merritt.
Wow, you're just great at this.
Would you like to know who's singing the national anthem and who the color guard is going to be?
Is it Jason Stanford?
No.
Why aren't you singing the national anthem?
I will not do that.
Okay, then.
Big-time color guard for Game 3. They're bringing them all in. The Navy, the Air Force, the Space Force, the Coast Guard, the Army, and the Marines.
That's awesome.
Serious business for Game 3.
That is
cool. Hey, they're ready.
Hey, let me ask you this.
They better be.
This goes for the both of you, then. How much money would it take to sing a national anthem in front of a sold-out Progressive Field crowd, knowing that... And I'm going to take a leap of faith here, Daryl, that you're not a great singer.
I can't carry a tune. There's two things I do not do in life.
Even better.
And you know this because I attended your wedding, Jonathan. I do not sing. I do not dance.
Yeah, you didn't dance.
I don't dance.
A lot of opportunities missed that night because Daryl wouldn't get on the dance floor.
No, I play the I got the bad wheel thing. No, Jason, you don't understand. Like, there are many embarrassing things about me. There may be none more than me dancing, and I could not take the chance in the era of smartphones of something ending up on social media of me attempting to dance. Well, I was born with two left feet and no coordination.
You and I would stay on the sidelines then, sitting in chairs watching everybody else dance, because I've got a left leg, and I've got another left leg, and I have 2 feet that don't even move.
You were a pro athlete.
Somehow, I was a pro athlete could cover first base with the best of
How is your body so broke? You must have a hell of an arm, I got to tell you that.
I don't know what it is these days, but yeah, maybe I had a great arm back then. Who knows?
Both my feet
were normal. If only your arm was a foot,
Well, there we go.
So what's your price? What do you got on it? What's your price to get you to sing the national anthem in front of a sold-out crowd?
You know what? It would have to be in the 7 figures because...
Ooh, wow.
Well, here's why.
I'd embarrass myself for a lot less than that.
Oh, no, because then I have to just go hide for the rest of my life because that thing is going viral. I will be called out everywhere I go. It'll just be awful. So, yeah, I just have to be able to, like, go hide on an island somewhere.
Look at the ego on you thinking that
no, it's not about ego. It's about
viral.
Just sheer embarrassment.
Your bad singing is going to go that viral.
No, it's that bad. Yeah, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be good, and it's going to go viral, and everybody's going to dunk on me.
Now, Jason, let me teach you something here. Now that we've warmed Darryl up, this is where we sneak attack him, okay?
Perfect.
Would you trade Myles Garrett?
No.
He was ready for it.
He was.
He was ready for it.
You act like you're the first person this week to ask me that question.
Yeah, well, who else asked you that question?
It got asked yesterday on the afternoon show.
Oh, wow.
I was on the afternoon show yesterday. Where were you?
You clearly weren't actively listening.
Did Darryl do yesterday with us?
No, Monday.
Darryl wasn't on there.
Monday. I was asked on Monday on the afternoon show.
I don't think we had you there either.
So, Darryl, what if it was two first-rounders, a third-rounder, and a fifth-rounder?
Nope.
So he is your franchise forever?
The Cleveland Browns
now
have never had
it. Monday. Now I do remember it Monday. Go ahead.
The Browns have never had a player like Myles Garrett in their history. You know, they've had some great quarterbacks, albeit it was 50 years ago before any one of us were born, in, you know, the likes of Lou Groza and Otto Graham and whatnot. But they have never had a Hall of Fame, game-changing pass rusher like Myles Garrett. You don't trade that guy. Because if you trade him, Jason, you're not finding that guy again for a long, long time. So I am against trading him. I'm against trading Denzel Ward because those are corner pieces. And if you trade those guys, you have to replace them at some point. And the Browns' history of first-round draft picks in the last 25 years, not good. So I would rather have a Hall of Famer on my roster for his entire career at that position than give him up for a couple of first-round draft picks and some sweeteners, too.
Myles has been through a lot. He went through 1-31. He went through Baker. He's been through wars here, obviously. But is there a chance
that... He's also part owner of the Cavaliers now.
Well, that's not going to make or break him. It is true, but it's not going to make or break him. Is there a chance out there, though, that Myles says, I've just been through enough. The Lions are going to be a Super Bowl contender. I want to go play for them. Because I do think that it changes the equation if it's Myles going to them as opposed to them considering whether or not they would trade Myles.
Well, I think if you trade Myles Garrett, you'll have a revolt on your hands from fans. I really do. I think it's Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb among the untouchables.
Well, how long can you keep Nick Chubb employed? Like, what if he's not good this year?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, if you traded Nick Chubb tomorrow, there would be a revolt.
No, okay, but, okay, so at some point we do get to go ahead and say, Nick Chubb, we've seen you, we've done this. Okay,
right,
the Players Tribune thing, I mean, that was, I didn't get teary-eyed, but it was very emotional. Like, that was a very, what did Kevin Stefanski tell you guys? He was the best journalist of the whole entire bunch?
Something like that.
Ouch.
You really didn't have to mention
that.
Right? Thanks.
You tweeted it.
I was in the room.
You tweeted it, but yeah.
I know, I even put the video up, too.
Only reason I saw it is because you tweeted it, if I'm being honest about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was also listening to Kevin
Stefanski. It's nice to know at 1-5, Kevin still has a sense of humor, so that's good.
But it was very emotional. It was very emotional.
And, well, he acknowledged his football mortality, right?
Well, do you expect him to be good? Because we had Ross Tucker on at 4 o'clock, and he's like, Dr. Chow on Twitter says Nick Chubb will never be Nick Chubb again. Do you have expectations of Chubb actually being a good football player on this team with the offensive line the way it is right now?
I don't know what to expect from him other than I'm afraid for him. For the way this is going, to throw him into this, I almost said something else. I'll say fire pit. I just hope he doesn't get hurt. I don't. You know, I just feel like it's unfair. A couple of things are unfair to Nick Chubb. One, that people expect he's going to show up on Sunday and that's what's going to save this season. Two, that he's going to be the same exact player that he was prior to this injury. This is now the second time he has suffered devastating injury to that left knee, okay, and had to have it put back together. This time around, he required two surgeries to put his knee back together. And the fact that he is available and back and going to play this Sunday, you know, some 13 months after being on that cart in Pittsburgh, and that stadium, dead silent, you could hear a pin drop in that building when Nick Chubb went down. And the, you know, golf clap round of applause that he received from Steeler fans just shows you the respect, you know, that he has. I mean, even today, Nick comes up to the podium. His teammates are hooting and hollering and cheering him. I put a little clip of that out there, too, you know, for folks. I'm going to tell you this. There are some other leaders on this football team, no names, that do not receive that kind of reception within that locker room.
Darryl, when you look at this team right now, you just mentioned, you know, we don't know what Nick Chubb's going to bring. But if he can be, let's say, 70% of what we've seen in the past, does that help this offense and open it up a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, 70% of Nick Chubb is about 1,000% better of this current offense, absolutely. I mean, sadly, the running game is the highlight for this team right now. They're ranked 28th in rushing, but 20th, I should say, in rushing yards per attempt. So everything else, they're 30th and below. So, like, that is the one, I guess, saving grace of what they have. The problem is they're not in good running situations. They're never in good running situations. So, you know, it's tough to really establish any type of running game rhythm in an offense, by the way, that's predicated on throwing the football a ton, which I really think they need to scale that back significantly now. Naheem Hines, full participant in practice today, along with Nick Chubb. So I expect both of those players to be activated for Sunday. So we could see a little different look in the backfield with guys getting carries, starting obviously with number 24. But yeah, I mean, I'm all for trying to run the ball at this point, because clearly throwing it, you're just asking for problems.
Darryl, what'd you learn today about what they're calling the North Coast Connector? I think we need a better name than that.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's what's going on. The federal government, through one of the many infrastructure programs, is going to contribute about $59.7 million to help Cleveland in the state of Ohio turn State Route 2 that goes through downtown, comes off the shoreway there and goes out toward Lakewood. They already did the part that goes to Lakewood on the other side of the Cuyahoga River. Well, they're going to turn that into a boulevard. So they got money for that. Earlier this year, they got about $20 million from the state of Ohio to do this land bridge, which was supposed to be this big, beautiful green space and park-like sidewalk deck that goes all the way down to the lakefront. And we all know what's going to happen. When this is all done, it's going to be a two-lane sidewalk going over railroad tracks. So, like, that's just how things go here in Cleveland. But, yeah, so that was announced today. That's obviously a pretty big deal. And I can tell you that those projects will be moving forward regardless of what the Browns ultimately decide to do, whether it's renovate or what I think they're going to do, and that is move to Brook Park as quickly as they can.
As we watch your property values skyrocket, thank you.
I have sources that tell me that Brook Park real estate right now is pretty hot. People are doing okay out there in Brook Park. Yeah.
Are your sources also Zillow?
No.
No, okay.
Realtor.com. Yeah,
right. No, I did not check my email for that information. I know some folks in the real estate business there that deal in these type of things. And yeah, so, we'll see what the Browns ultimately do. I'm of the belief the dome is going to get built. It's just a matter of who's going to pay for what and how much.
Darryl, fantastic insight. Appreciate you as always. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
You bet, guys.
Thanks,
Darryl. Good stuff right there. Our Browns insider, Darryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We are going to get back to the Guardians, okay? Let's do it. Jason Stanford, Jonathan Peterlin with you guys on Afternoon Drive, and I want to hear from you. 216-474-0092. Was the moment just too big for the Guardians? Your calls, your tweets, that and more next, right here on The Fan. Bet you didn't sign up for impassioned WNBA. I'm not even WNBA, women's college basketball coach talk when you signed up to do the show with me today.
No, not at all.
Nope, isn't it? Now that we've known each other for about 4.5 hours, do you also find it interesting how certain things just get me riled up in ways that they just probably shouldn't?
No, not at this point now.
Okay, good.
You know, in the 4.5, yeah.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to this one.
All right, let me ask you, before we get to the Guardians really quick, I did something today that I was oddly proud of. Do I seem like a handy person to you? And I know what that answer is going to be, but I want you to say it.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, why is that? I don't give off the impression. To nobody in my life do I give off the impression that I'm a handy human.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's go back to earlier and talk about your babysitter knocking over your mailbox.
Yes.
Can you personally put that up? And if so, is it going to stand erected at 90 degrees?
I'm going to have my father-in-law help me.
Oh, see?
I'm going to have him help me. I'm going to have him. It's a two-man job.
That's why I said it.
Don't put one person on a two-man job. You're not wrong. Today, though, I fixed the stove. And the heaters were out in the stove, all four of them. And okay. I went in there and I fixed them. And I was just so proud of myself. And I'm like, maybe this is what makes me a handy person. And I didn't even use YouTube videos, by the way. That's like the one thing. I always go on YouTube. I take YouTube videos and just kind of... Because, listen, I know I can do it if you give me YouTube videos.
That's fair.
I would have been the least handy person... We'll get back to the Guardians in a second. I can't believe it. My dad used to watch Bob Vila videos every single, like all the time. And I'm like, how are you watching this with the idea that, I don't know, 7 months from now, it's going to come in play what he's talking about on that individual weekend. It's bonkers. But now we have all these videos. I can just dial up whatever I need.
There are so many YouTube videos for everything these days. And I would be the first to ask my son, he's 10 years old. And I would ask my son about everything on YouTube. And he'd be like, hey, Dad. Go to this guy. Hey, Dad, go to this
knows
girl.
It. Just knows it.
Knows it, like, front and back. And I'm like, mm-hmm. How do you know all this stuff? You know, I don't pay attention to it. But I will tell you, I am a handyman.
I know that. I know. Again, one of those things you know about somebody, they don't have to say it. I knew instantly. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Because I'm like, I know you're a handyman.
But here's what I grew up in Arizona.
I'm gonna hire you to come on over and put my mailbox in.
I can do that. I used to work for the county, Trumbull County. So I used to drive a truck. I had a CDL license. You know, so I'm a jack of all trades. I might not master any of it, but it looks really good bent sideways.
You've done everything.
I have.
You really have.
I really have. The book that would ever come out when I'm gone would be outstanding.
I like that you wait until you're gone for the book to come out, right? By the way. Like,
no, I don't have to wait.
People put out books while they're living.
I don't have to answer to it, though. You know, they might look back and be like, oh, this chapter, garbage. Like, why are you talking about that?
Are there skeletons in Jason Stanford's closet that
Never.
We don't know
nope.
exist?
We are human as human.
Uh-huh. The guy that's, I think, a week from now going to go and help out hurricane victims because you're just a good person like that. I don't think you have those skeletons.
Nah, I mean, everybody has skeletons. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you just mentioned about helping hurricane victims, you know, down south. I'm still going to do that. I talked about it, you know, earlier last week. About helping an organization. Unfortunately, you know, that's not going to happen. So I'm going to do it on my own. My girlfriend Vanessa and I, we're going to figure out how to get it done.
Yeah, we got it. You're a good person,
yes.
Jason.
I also like to be handy.
You'd also be a better person if you came and helped me put my mailbox in, but I can't get greedy here, I guess.
Okay, so you live in Solon. I will.
I am not asking you to come.
Why not?
Like, I'm not asking you to do that.
We'll talk about that.
I cannot possibly ask you to do that.
But we'll talk about it.
I can ask you to put in your Guardian's thoughts, but I can't ask you to do that. It's very kind of you, though, and I'm going to take that as an offer. By the way, I'm going to rescind the offer. I'm going to reject the offer, but only out of kindness to you. And then I'm going to go ahead and be like, yeah, that Jason Stanford guy, what an all right dude.
Does your babysitter? Does she watch dogs?
Is that the trade?
That is the trade.
She comes and watches your dogs.
100%.
Maybe.
Oh,
it's on
boy.
The table.
All right, it's on the table.
It's on the table. I don't know if she. I don't know what she does and doesn't watch. Start your game day with Earl DePearl, from 7 to 9. Then me and Spencer German. I did debate it. Do I say Earl DePearl or Earl Malden? It's written as Earl Malden. He's Earl DePearl to me. We host the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Daryl Ryder joining us for the latest from the stadium. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details on our website, 923thefan.com. All right, Jason. Good guy, Jason Stanford. Do you think the Guardians are screwed?
No, not by any means. And the reason I would say that is 7-game series. They lost 2 games, yes, in New York. They looked overmatched at times, but then they also played really bad baseball at times. And I think, you know, when you look at this team, that was very uncharacteristic of what we saw all season long. Now they're coming home. They get a day off here at home. They get back under the lights with the Guard fans, which I've seen so far have been outstanding. I mean, they have been so much fun. And then you have to play back game 5 against the Tigers. Like, how exciting was that against the best pitcher in baseball? They did it. So they have proven so far that they can play this game in the playoffs. Now it's just a matter of going back and saying, let's win one game. Let's focus game three and go from there.
I hate that you brought up Scooble there only because that should have been the jolt that you needed. Like, we went 20 innings without scoring a run in that Tigers series.
Correct.
But as you mentioned, you get after the number one pitcher in baseball, the guy that's going to win the Cy Young, triple crown winner this year. You get after him. You're supposed to be able to carry that into games 1 and 2, you would think, and they've laid an egg. I mean, Brennan committed 2 errors in 161 plays and had the big error last night. Rocchio, who's having an upside-down postseason, by the way, now all of a sudden he hits, but he's a Gold Glove finalist, And then he's missing pop-ups that your 10-year-old could catch. I got confidence in him. I know he could.
Correct.
But how does this happen? How do you go from having all the confidence in the world in Game 5 to then going to New York and having it go the way that it is? And I don't know, Jason. We just wonder if the lights were, in fact, too bright.
Well, and that's where it comes back into play. You've just done what you're supposed to do. You win that game. You go, and all of a sudden, you're playing in New York City under the lights with all of those crazy fans there. And yeah, maybe it did get too big. Maybe they took, you know, a little bit of a step off the pedal and said, oh boy, this game really means a lot. And that was game one. Now you go into game two and you have your ace going. He's supposed to go out and you miss that fly ball. That changed the whole outcome of that inning and that game. That put all the pressure back on the guards to be able to get back to 1-1. And they couldn't get back to 1-1, so now they're down 2-0.
It just feels like a little bit of a missed opportunity. Because when you listen to Yankees fans and Yankees sports talk radio and everything in New York today, they're not talking about Aaron Judge's home run. They're talking about the struggles that this team has had. They're talking about how Chisholm finally gets a base hit and then gets tossed out at second. Because, of course, Jazz Chisholm had that happen to him, right? They're talking about Austin Wells, supposed to be the protector in between of everything, can't hit a lick. They're talking about Boone's mismanagement at the end of game one with the bullpen. Like, they're talking about the mistakes that the Yankees are making. They're not talking about how good this Yankees team wins. And I feel like it would be a much different story if we got out-bombed by the Bronx Bombers, right? If they just continue to hit home runs and hit home runs. Why I got optimism right now, Jason, is that we should be up two games to nothing.
I wouldn't say up two games to nothing. I would say 1-1 more so than anything. But what I look at...
I mean, if we played like a typical Guardians baseball game is what I'm saying.
I still don't think it would be a 2-0 series there in Guard's favor. And the way I look at it is you still had Gerrit Cole on the mound last night.
Yeah.
He's not
the same Gerrit Cole that won the Cy Young last year.
No, he wasn't the same, but he still competed. He got out of innings the way he was supposed to. Now, were there some questionable calls behind the plate? Of course there were.
I saw 18 missed calls is what they had by the umpire last night.
See,
18.
That's way too many in a playoff game. Regular season game when, yes, all games matter. But this is a playoff game where let's say he misses 10 of those calls. Mm-hmm. 8 of those calls, okay, go better for the guards. The one call that I look at, though, is the Brocchio call. When you look at that 3-2 count in a key situation.
The strikeout with the bases loaded.
Bases loaded. It's a backdoor breaking ball.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a right-handed pitcher and you throw a backdoor breaking ball, it doesn't cross over the plate. Because it's the back door. Like, that's what happens. And that's exactly what
it's right? The back door.
And that's exactly what happened there in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
He is at his best right now swinging the bat. And for the umpire to take the bat out of his hand in that situation, it was monumental.
Yeah, I like that you put it that way, because in my mind, it almost felt like he froze, and that's not been Rocchio at the plate this postseason.
No, not at all.
He's hitting 450. He's been aggressive.
Yeah.
He's been barreling up everything.
Well, what he's done different, though, is he has shortened his swing down. Mm. He's keeping the barrel on the ball. He's not pulling off his front shoulder. He's looking to use all sides of the field right now. And we saw that last night. He was able to go to the left field, which was great.
Yeah.
He's able to stay middle, you know. But the key, too.
Oh, that's the good stuff right there. Is this something that you think Rocchio can carry into? And like, are we going to see a changed Rocchio? Because some of the things you're describing right now, every Guardians fan in the world just thinks of Rocchio as a good defensive player and an absolute liability at the plate. But this postseason started to change some mindsets there.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, he's growing right now. So we're seeing before our eyes a young man at shortstop where, look, Guardians / Indians have had unbelievable shortstops throughout history of baseball. You have another young man that is up for a gold glove. He's a finalist for a gold glove. He's shown how outstanding he can play defense. He is very good on the bases normally. And when you watch his swing right now, yes, he is growing as a young man that hopefully for a long time can be in the middle of that lineup, maybe at the top of the lineup or keep him at the bottom of the lineup.
It's a +1 in our round the horn tally that we have today. That's +1 out of you. And it's the first time. It's just because you didn't make me laugh. It was just a baseball thought. I like when you make me laugh instead, though. I like the water boy one. I like the pickle one.
We'll have to keep that up.
Laughs always get me.
Always.
I'm an easy set. Laughs always get me. Like actual baseball analysis.
You want me to try to sing? I might make you really, really
laugh.
No. Okay, thank you.
You told me that was something that you're not good at. We don't need to hear it.
Fair enough.
In between the break. All right, 216-474-0092. Cool Ray up next. What's up, Cool Ray?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Yeah. You know, I disagree. I think the Indians are done. I love the Guardians. I love all my Cleveland teams, but I think they're done. They're running up. They're going up against a buzzsaw. They're going up against a much better team, and no matter how
they're not that much better, Cool Ray. I really don't believe that.
It's you know what? It's cool that you don't believe it, but sometimes you just got to be honest with
FanGraphs before the series, Cool Ray, had it at a 53-47% advantage by the Yankees. Like, they saw these two teams as basically neck and neck. Now, the bullpen for the Yankees has been fantastic, way better than I think the Guardians ever could have envisioned. They've allowed one run all postseason, but outside of their big boppers, their lineup goes cold really, really quick.
But you know what? This team is a buzzsaw when it comes down to it. You got to look at what the Yankees' pedigree is. Everybody uses the word pedigree. This is a championship caliber team. I understand. Like, but we get so confused about, you know, our division is much more easier than win and what the Yankees are doing. And sometimes you got to take that into consideration. Where if you're not really threatened for your division, and someone is always, and another team is fighting for that, they're already battle tested. I'm not saying the Guardians are not a good team. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying right now that when you're going up against like the Yankees and those better teams, you're going to be exposed. And that's all they're doing is just they're really exposing. You know what was it? We lowered the bases twice.
Fourth and the fifth inning. Yeah.
Right, and only one run came in. Like and he wasn't even decent. Like he was. I mean, Cole was really just, let's say, average yesterday, and we couldn't even get but one run in. And right. then the sloppy defensive plays I've been watching. Come on.
Yeah, but I just don't think. And Jason, I think you'd agree. You're down two games in a baseball series. Like baseball, you can come back from this.
Very much so. And the reason I say this, you know, the Yankees have home field advantage for a reason. They were the one seed. Mm-hmm. So you have four games there possibly. But the nice thing and the luxury about baseball, playoff baseball especially, is now the Guards come home. They have the next three games almost guaranteed. You win one, you're guaranteed three games at home, and then you go from there.
No doubt. 216-474-0092. Is the moment been too big for the Guardians? We'll continue with your phone calls. If you're hanging, hang tight. We'll put a bow on this one. It's Jason Stanford, Jonathan Peterlin here with you guys. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan. All right, back at it here on The Fan. Jonathan Peterlin and Jason Stanford with you guys, as always. And I say as always if we've been doing like 12 shows together like 12 years together. It's been one show together, but it's been fun.
It feels like a lifetime.
It does. It feels like we've known each other forever. And I can check you off the list of people that I've hosted with at The Fan, which now I think might be like 45 people deep. I think I've hosted with more people on this station, this is my claim to fame here, than anybody else at this station. I think.
I am getting a baseball and a football and a basketball, and I'm getting you to sign all three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like the salty vet around here.
I'm basically Cal Ripken of the station.
Oh, beautiful. A
Cal Ripken-esque streak that we have going on here. But, hey, you mean more to me than most of the 45.
Well, thank you.
I just threw 45. I have no idea what the number was. It'd be fun if I actually did a list, though. I need to, like, write down one day. You know, you make lists in life, and you figure out, like, what your number is in certain areas of life. I need to do that with, like, my hosts. That I've done.
I'll be
shows
back
with.
Friday.
Yeah, but you won't be with me.
No,
you'll
I know.
Be back with Nick on Friday. I'll see you in the pass in
the
between.
The passing like normal.
The pass in between. All right, 216-474-0092. Are you scared where the Guardians currently are? Jason is not. I am not. We are wondering if the lights and the pressure got to be a little bit too bright and too big for the Guardians in New York. Rob was in New York, and he's up next on The Fan. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, JP?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good. Great job, as always. And Jason, love hearing your insight, man. Thank you. Yeah, I got to go to the game. It was kind of a bucket list thing, and I was really blown away with the atmosphere. Like, the fans were incredible, and it's definitely a home field advantage there. Tough place to play. I think playoff baseball comes down to clutch hits, and it felt like we stranded 35 runners on base in 9 innings last night, which I know is mathematically impossible, but, you know, you got Anthony Rizzo getting blue pits, and they hit a couple blasts. But overall, like, the Guardians hit the ball harder the first two games of the series than the Yankees did. We're just not getting the clutch hits.
Yeah, 0-for-7 in running runners in scoring position last night. You left 11 guys on base.
Yeah, it was tough to watch that. There was really only two things that really ticked me off, and I'm curious to hear Jason's on the first. Mm-hmm. when they took Bibee out, he was pitching very poorly. He didn't have domination in the strike zone. He gave us some hard-hit balls. And he really kind of showed up vote, like this snicker coming off the mound. And I'm like, kid, if you want to stay in the game, then pitch, you know? And Cade Smith, God bless him, man. I mean, he comes in with the bases loaded. He pitched all five games in the Tigers series. And he gets judged, hit a sack fly, and gets out of it. Or else it could have been 6-0, and he gave us a chance. But I just I'd be curious to hear what Jason says after I hang up about showing him up. And the second thing is, you know, we rode Bo Naylor all year long when he was hitting 212, and he got better as the year went on. And it's just really tough to see him pinch hit in the third or fourth inning, knowing that Austin Hedges is going to come up and get three more at bats. And sure enough,
Rob, I don't.
He just comes up with the bases loaded. It's really, you got to ride your guys.
Rob, I got to let you go, but I will answer it. I promise you. I saw a stat last night, and I apologize. I can't remember who said it and who had it out there. And I've not fact checked them like I typically do. So I'm taking a leap of faith here. But they said that Guardians catchers, Jason, have not had a hit since September 25th. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen a Guardians. How does that happen? Bo Naylor doesn't have a hit in the postseason, and Austin Hedges is just standing up there at the plate watching pitches go by. But
that's really tough.
Yeah, and I don't know what you do. You got to ride your guys, obviously. But he asked about Bibee in that situation. What are your thoughts on Bibee? Maybe getting a little bit mad at Steven Vogt in that moment. I mean, you being on the mound, I would imagine back in the day, they came to pull you after an inning and a third. Didn't go the way you wanted. You had the Rocchio error that is so not like Rocchio in that moment. You mad, or are you just like, I guess this is what it is?
No, and I would agree, you know, with Rob right there that there was a little bit of a snicker. You could see it as he's walking off the field.
Yeah,
I mean, he had a little bit of a grin, and it maybe more so it was a shock, you know, that he was being taken out because he is supposed to be the ace. I get that it's a playoff game, but that was the pivotal portion at that point of where the game was. And for Steven, he is relying on his relievers. He's going to go back and he's going to say, Cade Smith, go in and do your thing.
And now he at least has a chance at 39 pitches to maybe pitch
possibly
on Saturday.
Possibly.
All right, that'll do it for us tonight. Mackenzie Flume, the Flume Dog Millionaire, appreciate you. The Big Cheese, as some call her. I don't call her that, though. I don't do that. Jax Gregory, appreciate you as always. Appreciate Mac Robinson as well. Thank you to Mike Sando, Ross Tucker, Albert Breer, Daryl Ryder. And thank you to Jason Stanford. Appreciate you coming by and hanging out with me all day.
JP, thank you so much, man. Go Guards.
Go Guards, as always. I'll be back with you guys on Friday night in my own slot. Spencer German will be in for me tonight on Overtime with Jonathan Pito. And please listen, feed my kids. I have one kid. Feed my kid and help me out. Until then, we have the preview show tonight. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Keep it locked in. You got 92.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.